Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we get started, I want to do something that I know Kevin's going to hate me for. But I just want to recognize him and thank him for all the work he's put into this Shape series. There's been countless hours put into this, months of planning, the growth groups, to the coordinator training, to the ministry director's training, to all the sermons. He even told Pastor John and I what to preach and how to preach it. So can we give him a round of applause and just thank him? I've had a great time in my growth group. I don't know about you guys. I've learned a lot about myself. I've also had some hard times. If you know Dan Diggins, I couldn't get him to stop talking. He just went on and on and on. He would interrupt me, "Sean, I want to pray." And then this past Friday, I told him I was going to preach, and he said, "Sean, I want to preach, because I like to be up front in front of everybody." So everything else was good. No, I'm just kidding. If you know Dan, that's the opposite of who he is. But I've had a great time getting to know who other people are in Christ and who I am. Last week, Pastor Kevin talked about experiences. And he talked about the life of Moses. We went to the book of Acts and kind of got an overview of his life. And we saw how God used the experiences in Moses' life to use him for his glory. One of the things I really appreciated was how Kevin made sure we understood that it was about what God did. It was about who God was, not about what Moses did and who Moses was. But one of the things we saw was that God didn't just allow Moses to have good experiences. He also had some difficult experiences. And this morning, I want to go further into that. Difficult experiences. And how God comforts us in those experiences. If you've been walking with Christ for any amount of time, you'll know that it is very true what Jesus said in John 16:33. He said, "In this world you will have trouble." You will have trouble. Now you're speaking to the disciples directly, but that impacts all of us. We have all had trouble in this world. That runs against a philosophy that we're hearing nowadays in the church. I won't dignify it by calling it a theology. The philosophy that if you're a Christian, you will have no trouble. False. Either that philosophy is true, which would make Jesus a liar, or Jesus was telling us the truth when he said you will have trouble. Another word for trouble is affliction, persecution, tribulation. I don't think anybody experienced trouble, in my opinion, as much as the Apostle Paul. Look what he writes to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. The we is himself and Timothy. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength, we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." He goes on in chapter 11. "I have been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned." I used to use that as a proof text when I was a teenager, but then I found out it's not what he was talking about. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. In this life, you will have trouble. And Paul knew that. It's the same Paul who wrote this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Would you pray with me? Father, we're here this morning because we want to hear from you. We desperately need to hear from you. God, we are experiencing trouble. Encourage us this morning through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're going to look at a couple aspects of this passage. The first of which is that there is a reality that God comforts us. There's a reality that God comforts us. Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. You see right there in that passage, there's the reality. God comforts us in all our affliction. If we're not careful, we can kind of relegate affliction to just simply religious persecution. But this word for affliction carries so much more meaning than that. It's the idea of being pressed down, squeezed, squeezed into a narrow place where you feel like you can't get out. Like we just read in verses 8 and 9. In the ESV it reads, we don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experience. We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. This is the affliction that Paul's talking about. You are so burdened that you feel like there's no way out. Some of you are here this morning and you have the pressure of finances looming over you. There's debt that you feel like you can't get out of. Some of you are caught in relationships, marriages, that there's just pressure on you. And you feel that you've received the sentence of death. You're despairing of life. Some of you have contemplated suicide. Because life has just been so troublesome. I do believe that even Christians contemplate suicide. They have the idea that if I become a Christian, everything's going to be made better. It's not made better. The problems aren't just taken away. And they begin to despair. Maybe that's you this morning. Paul wants you to know that God Himself is the Father of mercies. He's the God of all comfort. And He wants to comfort you in your affliction, whatever that is. And so you might be saying, well, Sean, I don't experience that comfort. I don't have warm fuzzies during these troubles. Well, friend, it's not about warm fuzzies. Sometimes we're not going to feel the comfort. Well, Sean, I'm not experiencing that comfort. I still have problems in my marriage. I still have problems in my finances. It's not about God just taking you out of those things. You say, so Sean, then how do we experience God's comfort? How does God comfort me? Well, one way we know that God comforts us is through His presence. I took a compilation of passages and here are some things that Jesus says to us. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Pause for a moment. This is not pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Take heart because of what I have done. Not what you're going to do, not how you're going to solve it. You're going to have trouble, but take heart because of who I am. And I have overcome the world. Then he says, I am with you always. If you're a believer in this room this morning, he's talking to you. Jesus said, I am with you always. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. One of the ways God comforts us is through His presence. Again, you say, Sean, I'm still enduring these problems. Brother, sister, the difference is you're not enduring them alone. He is with you. When you lay your head down at night and those tears flow on the pillow, He's next to you. And I promise you, He's crying more than you because He loves you that much. He's that perfect parent that sometimes allows us to endure things, but goes with us through them. I think of Jude sometimes. He has struggles sometimes after he eats. You know what I mean? He starts to wriggle, and his legs start to go, and his face turns red, and he starts wailing. And there's nothing I can do. I can't remove that from him. Sometimes I rock his legs, and I think that'll help. You ever done that with a baby? And after you rock for a little while, you get, oh, there we go. But sometimes that doesn't work. Here's the reality. He screams and he screams, and little tears flow from his face, and it breaks my heart. But I never leave him. I hold him. Or Christine holds him. And we rock him. Does he acknowledge that yet? I don't know. But that doesn't change the fact that we are there. Now, of course, the difference is God can fix things. Anything he wants to. But sometimes he allows us to go through them. And whether we recognize he is with us or not doesn't change the fact that he is. And we can remind ourselves that as we go through this thing, we're not going through it alone. That He is there next to us. That word comfort, it's also the word from which we get Holy Spirit. The Parakletos. The Holy Spirit is comfort. God is comfort. And the Bible says that when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. You cannot get away from God's presence if you're a believer. But you can ignore it. How does God comfort me? Well, through His presence. Another way He comforts us is through His Word. Through His Word. Paul writes, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. Through the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. The question is, do you turn to them? In your times of trouble, do you turn to the scriptures to receive that encouragement, to receive that comfort? Sometimes when we're going through a difficult time, an affliction, and a trouble, we like to go to everybody we know and we like to tell them about all of our troubles. So we go and we tell this person, here's all the difficult things I'm going through. Now that's good to share that with close people. That's good. That's healthy. But when we only do that, that's not good. And then we say, oh Lord, where are you? You're not speaking to me in this trouble. You're not speaking to me in this trial. He says, I'm trying to. It's kind of like a guy who complains of being lonely in his house and he's got a mailbox full of letters that he's never opened. No one cares about me. No one talks to me. Oh yes, they have. You just haven't opened them. See, God wants to comfort us through His Word. Sometimes we can approach this book as if it's rules. All right, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want to yell at me about today? What do I need to fix today? But do we always think of it as the way He wants to encourage us, to comfort us, to bring strength to our weary hearts? It's the Holy Spirit, by the way, who opens up the Word for you. So, Jesus is next to you, in you, around you. And as you open the Word, the Holy Spirit begins to whisper to you. Because you might say, hey, I have a hard time understanding the Bible. I'm not an English major, Sean, and sometimes it's pretty confusing. Well, praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit's smarter than us. Because He can open up your eyes to see things that you would never otherwise understand. He can speak to you in a way that'll calm all of your fears in a moment through His Word. Another way He comforts us is through prayer. Paul said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amidst all of that sharing, the trouble that you're going in, have you shared it with the Lord? Sometimes prayer feels like the most inactive thing we can possibly do. Well, I'll pray to God later. I'll talk to Him later. But right now, I've got to get this problem solved. All right, God, hang on. I'm going to go fix this, and then I'll come back and talk to you. I'll come back and talk to you about how I've overcome my problem. And Jesus says, no. I have overcome the world. You come to me. Martin Luther was a man who used to pray 2 to 3 hours every morning. And then the Reformation began after he nailed the 99 Theses. And people said, now what will you do? You have all this stuff to do, all these engagements to go speak. You have all this to do. You are praying 2 to 3 hours a morning. What will you do now? Now that you're pressed in your time, he said, I'll pray 6. Because God can do more in an hour of prayer than I can do in 40 hours a week. God wants to comfort us through prayer. We can approach prayer as time to sit on Santa's lap. Yeah? We can approach prayer just as time to confess our sins. But did you know that you can approach the throne of grace to receive comfort? It's like sometimes when you have a really difficult day, husbands, you want to share your problems with your wife. Why? Because she can comfort you. Husbands, I hope you do the same for your wives when they share their struggles with you. I know that when I was home and I had trouble, you know who I went to? Mommy. And it was just that gentle touch on the back. Just knowing they're there, listening, that brought me great comfort. That's how God wants us to come to Him. And the last word, the way that He comforts us is through other believers. Through other believers. As I said, it's not a bad thing to share our burdens with one another. We're encouraged to do that. And look at what Paul says. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. So Paul was despairing of life, felt he had the sentence of death. He was concerned about the churches, worried about them. And how did God comfort him during that time? He sent Titus. Have you ever had that time where someone calls you, someone shows up at your doorstep, just in the nick of time? You were suffering, and God sent someone along to encourage you. That's the strength of the body. That's why God never calls anyone to be Lone Ranger Christian. Because we need each other. He said in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. And we know he was speaking of creating Eve and giving him a partner. But isn't that true in general? It's not good for man to be alone. An isolated Christian ends up being a defeated Christian. So we know that there's a reality that God comforts us. But now let's look at the reason that God comforts us. There's a reason that God comforts us. Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Here's one of the great reasons that God comforts us. One of. The primary reason is that's who He is. He is the God of all comfort. He can't help but comfort you. That's just His nature. But another reason is so that we would be able to comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received. And so, if we went backwards through the ways that we're comforted, He comforts us through others. Let me ask you a question. Do you allow God to use you to be a comforter to other people? Sean, I don't have time for that. I've got enough problems of my own. Did you know that one of the greatest times of being ministered to by the Lord is when you're ministering to someone else? It is so easy to put ourselves in a box and suffocate ourselves thinking about how difficult our life is. But as they say, there's always someone who has it more difficult than you. And here's the reality, that if we will look to go out and comfort others, while we are doing that, God will comfort us. They say, well, how am I going to do that? How will I comfort others? I don't have training. I don't have the ability to do that. I'm not a counselor. I haven't taken any courses on this stuff. How has God comforted you? You say, well, Sean, God comforts me when I pray. Wonderful. I want you to find a brother and sister in this body who's struggling, and I want you to pray with them. Comfort them the way you've been comforted. See, I want to clear something up before I go any further. This is not the ministry of people with bunions, right? That just come together and we sit around in chairs and, oh, I've got a bunion. Me too, brother. I've got a bunion. Oh, this is so difficult. I got a hair in my bunion, right? And we just sit around and we complain and we're like, oh, we're getting together. That's what Pastor Sean said to do. And we're complaining. We got all our shoes off. No. That's not what this is. I'm reminded of the other day. Pastor John and I were talking out in the hallway, and because I assume Pastor John has a perfect life and never has any trouble, right? He's the senior pastor. He doesn't have problems. He doesn't have troubles. And so we're talking, and I'm unloading, as usual, I'm regurgitating my troubles on him. I feel like sometimes he might put on a raincoat when I come. Like, oh, no. Here he comes to give me his problems again. So I'm sharing something with Pastor John, and he's doing the and listening. You know? Yeah. I picked that up, you know. Christine and I have talked about the things I've picked up over the last 4 years. I go like this to people. I say, I'd like to process that with you. I'm just going to process that. Sean, can you take out the garbage? Let me process that. Just become the people you work with, I guess. No, but he's listening, and that's genuine when he does it. When I do it, I'm just being him. But no, it's genuine, and he's listening to me, and I don't know if it was related or not, but he began to share his struggles. And the thing is, he didn't leave it there. It wasn't, oh, and I'm having that struggle too, brother. Man. All right, well, have a good day. He shared his struggle and then went on to share how God has comforted him. How God has comforted him through his word. He shared with me how God has orchestrated things and comforted him. And I walked away comforted by the comfort Pastor John had received. See, that's what we're talking about. Comfort others with the comfort you yourselves have received. Look what Paul writes in Philippians. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Let each of you not only look to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. If you have received comfort, don't just look at your own life and you look around at others. See where you can come alongside them and comfort them. That word comfort means come alongside. That's the picture we have. Comfort each other. Come alongside each other. Well, now here's the reality. The elephant might be in the room. I'm going to bring it out. We're a growing church. We're a growing church. Well, that was easy to do when there was only 50 of us, but now there's too many. I don't know anyone. Can't comfort anyone. Blame the church. You're growing. Terrible. God's saving people. Horrible. I can't stand it. I look around and there's more and more people praising God. It's horrible. I know it's not your heart, but here's the reality. I'm going to get rebuked later. That prophet in you. Here's the thing. If you've been to Discovering Open Arms 101, you'll know. This is a very intentional church with two very intentional pastors. What we do here is intentional. It's on purpose. It's not just thrown together because that's how other churches seem to do it. It's on purpose. This Shape series is an example of that. You say, well, I don't know many people. How am I going to come alongside someone? That's a great question. I'm so glad you asked. Hopefully you've had a chance to experience how God has wired you. And now with seeing how God has wired you, you'll have a chance to get connected to any one of these ministries, where you will walk alongside your brothers and sisters in Christ. We pick on Marcus for the chair ministry. We like to pick on him for that. I don't know why. Because it can be a difficult task. I know that. But here was an epiphany. Some great times of ministering happens while guys are putting the chairs down. It reminds me of when I worked with my stepfather doing concrete. The best part of that job was always the conversation as we worked. It was not the work. Right? It's not the work. My back hurts! Right? But you don't think about that during the day because of the fellowship you're having. The same with like a ministry like the chair ministry. Because you might be thinking, yeah, I don't see how putting down chairs is going to help me come alongside somebody. Because as we're doing that, we're walking with each other. We're talking. We're sharing. And that'll happen in any one of these ministries you get involved in. Another way that happens here at Open Arms is through growth groups. As we grow here, we try and shrink it back down during the week to where we can have an intimate time together to share. I know that that's happened tremendously in just the group I was in during the Shape series. Things I would have never known. Gotten to know people I probably would have never gotten to know that way. And we've been able to comfort each other, encourage each other with the comfort we have received. Take your shape. Are you a person who God comforts all the time just through His presence? You have that faith? God is here. I can't see Him, but I know He's there. Bring that to someone else. Are you someone who's comforted by His Word? Whenever I open His Word, He speaks to me. Take that and go comfort someone else and speak to them. Are you someone who's comforted by prayer? We can all do that. Pray with somebody. There's a reality that God comforts us through His presence, through His Word, through prayer, through other believers. And there is a reason that God comforts us. Let's pray. Father, just thank You for Your Word and how You love us. You are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who wants to come alongside us in all of our affliction to comfort us. Help us not stop there. This walk with You, Father, is not about me. It's about You first and the rest of my brothers and sisters second. Help me to take the comfort You've given to me and bring it to others. God, I pray this morning as we close out and we move into this ministry fair that You would guide and direct people to places where they can walk alongside one another. It's not just serving. It's not work. It's walking alongside each other to see Your kingdom expand and to undergird one another.